Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I am your host, Genevieve. How are you today? We are heading into, I guess we're in the midst of spring, but it has been a wild, wild week of spring here if you're in the Treasure Valley. We had snow in the morning, evening. It was like Groundhog's Day. I was just talking to our producer over here about that. For 3 days, like, you'd wake up and it'd be snowy, and that night there'd be no snow. You'd wake up, it was snow again. I'm like, what kind of crazy universe are we living in here? But today we've got sunshine and it feels so good. I'm just, you know me if you've been listening for a while, the weather totally impacts my mood, as it does all of us, right? We've talked about that before on the podcast, but oh, it was just a great way to wake up this morning. Excited to be back here. I haven't been back in the studio for a couple weeks recording, so I'm excited to be with you here today talking about something that really changed my view on relationships in our life. So specifically looking at the different phases of relationships and the 9 types of friends that you want in your life. And why this topic today is, I think, a really powerful conversation to have with ourselves, like an internal dialogue, internal conversation to reflect on, and also really helps with, I think, when you start to get to a point in your life where you're realizing your friend group gets a little bit smaller, but your relationships maybe are a little more impactful. So even though you don't see them as frequently as you used to, maybe the parties aren't quite as big, like the relationships that you do have, there's a lot of value in them. And a lot of what this conversation or this topic of discussion stem from today is based off of 2 other podcasts I was listening to. Or I think one was a book that I'd read. And, you know, I feel like I bring up Mel Robbins probably like every other episode on here. But she has a really interesting, I want to say hers was based on a book, but talking about how we have these different seasons with friends, or we have these different phases. It's like this evolution of friends. And I listened to this podcast shortly, it was during the pandemic, but at a time when we were seeing a lot of posts go around that said something about, like, take inventory of who's reaching out to you and who's checking in on you, because these are the friends who, you know, you want to be sticking close to. And at the time, I put a lot of truth in that and I put a lot of value in that. But on the other end of that, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, if someone isn't checking in on me, then they must not really care about me. Like, they're not a true friend for me. And if you consider everything that was going on at that time, I mean, we're merely surviving, right? You're in a constant state of survival mode. And so it's enough to just look out for yourself. And when I started to reflect on that more, I thought, well, does that mean that I'm not a true friend to those people who I'm not constantly seeking out and seeing, hey, how are you doing? How's your mental health? Like, how are you doing emotionally? It doesn't mean I don't care about them. You know, we all have different phases or stages in our life where maybe we need others and their presence and looking out for us more than we're able to give. So relationships are not constantly a 50-50, right? If you have, I know with my husband, we've looked a lot into just different marriage books and different relationship advice. And a lot of times we do think it has to be 50-50. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. But oftentimes in a relationship, it's more like a 60-40, a 70-30. I mean, there will be times where you might feel like you're giving more into that relationship. But take note, if you're able to also have times where you are receiving more, so you're on the receiving end. And so when I listened to that podcast, it made me really reevaluate how I was viewing different friendships, and also realizing, you know, as I'm getting into my early, I'm going to say I'm still in my early 30s, but that friendships will start to phase out. You know, that's how we started this conversation today, is that some of those friends who you had growing up, you know, maybe they're your best friend since childhood, maybe a really good college friend, and as you start to navigate into your career, as you start to maybe become a parent, or you start to live different lifestyles, you start to find that some of these friendships die out or you don't see them as often. And that can be challenging to let go of a friendship, especially if it was a friendship that was really of value to you. You spent a lot of time with them. You know, you were able to confide in them. You saw them as being like a forever friend. It can be really difficult to say goodbye, to put an end to that. And my biggest takeaway before we go into this was realizing that every relationship we have will show up differently in our lives in different stages. Some people will be there with you for one season. Some people will be there for you for many seasons. And there will not be one person in our life who will be everything for us. I think that's really important to wrap our minds around, because we do. And if you're dating, this is something that we run into a lot, right? You think, well, I've got this checklist. They've got to mark off everything on the list or a majority of the things on the list. Otherwise, it's not going to work out. And the longer I've been married to my husband, while he did check off a lot of things on the list, right? I think it's really important to have a standard of what you're looking for. You know, what are your values? Those are things you absolutely do not want to compromise. But there are definitely things that my husband and I don't agree on. There are things that we process differently. There are ways that we just show up differently in this world. And the longer we've lived together, been together, the more I value that. And so it's important to realize, too, that that one person isn't going to be everything for you. That's why you have, you know, that best friend that you can call it. 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, I think Mel Robbins calls them your 2 a.m. friend. You can call them at any time. They're going to answer your phone and they'll be there for you. You've got friends who you can confide in, you know, friends who will go for that spontaneous bike ride or go for a hike, the people who can make you laugh no matter what, those people who you can sit down and have really intellectual and in-depth conversations, and the people who you can just be yourself around. Like, I think it's important to realize that when you're seeking for that one person who can just be everything for you, that oftentimes it's a really high standard and unrealistic expectation. And so they might be one or two of the things that you're looking for. And that's why it's important to have a diverse group of friends and to be aware of who you're surrounding yourself with, right? If you take a look at like the five people who you surround yourself with, you're the most like them, or look at how they have an impression on you. We won't talk so much about that today, but I do want to go into first talking about the different evolutions of friendships. So if you were to vision this, Mel Robbins sets it up like a tree. And so if you're a visual person, it's a really great metaphor for the different types of friends you have in your life. So you start at the roots, and your roots essentially are your foundation, right? Your roots are what hold you strong. They are what allow you to remain, I think, true to who you are. They keep you grounded. And so when you think about this, these people oftentimes will go way back with you. So a lot of people might think someone in their family or someone who's been like family to them, someone who has seen you go through various phases of your life. You know, I see this being like my sister. My sister is someone who is definitely part of my roots. I think even like Luke, my husband here, would be part of my roots. And we develop new roots, right? If you look at the plant structure, you can develop new roots. So just because someone hasn't been with you your whole life doesn't mean they can't be part of your root structure. But these people are really here with you through thick and thin. They've seen various versions of you and how you show up in this world. And then you have your trunk. So the trunk can still be part of relationships that you've had for a long part of your life. You've built along your life and they've stuck with you. They've grown with you. You don't necessarily talk to these people all the time, but they support you nonetheless. So an example, this would be maybe a childhood friend who you hung out with, you know, a majority of growing up, and then maybe you went to different colleges, but you stayed in touch. You still communicate. You know that you could call them and you kind of pick things back up. Or maybe a college friend who you used to hang out with a lot and, you know, maybe you just speak occasionally with. But again, there's still someone who is very supportive of you, who's encouraging, who you feel very connected to yourself and who you're, again, maybe they help to connect you to who your roots are. So for me, I know like my New York City soulmate is what I call her, Cece. She's part of my trunk. We met when I lived in New York at a very pivotal moment of my life. And even though we only lived in the same place for a couple of years together, like we are able to, you know, pick right back up. We met up and traveled to Ireland right before the pandemic. We've gone and, you know, we'll meet up and see them. And we're very good friends with her and her now husband. And we just got to meet their little kiddo. So cute. But she's part of my trunk. And it doesn't mean I need to see her every day to still feel that support from her. Next, you have your limbs, your branches. So these are friends that you've developed a relationship with as you've gotten older. And they've inspired you. They've been through different areas of growth with you. So maybe they weren't there for all the different versions of you, but they've seen, and I say inspire an area of growth because maybe they've challenged you to think differently. Maybe they've opened up your eyes to new ideas and concepts, new activities. I think these as like coworkers or, again, friends in college, friends who maybe your really good friends have introduced you to. If you have a friend who has a partner and their partner brings friends into the new friend group. People who I think of here are like different people who I met in New York and worked with. And I think the important part of this too is to realize that these branches, right? What happens to branches and limbs throughout seasons? Sometimes they fall off, maybe because they didn't get the nutrients that they needed. Maybe there was a storm. And so this is where learning to let go of relationships starts to become a little more understanding. And that these people are showing up for you in different seasons of life. And it's natural for us to change. It's natural for us to have conflict in our life. It's natural for our priorities to shift as we grow who we are and the people we need to be around. So as these branches fall off, you know, relationships come to an end too. And then the last part of this are the leaves of the tree. And these are seasonal friends. They add color to your life. They're exciting. They bring something different. You know, they're not around for more than a season or two, but when they're there, it's very vibrant. You know, it might be someone, like, I think of those times when you're at a party and you connect with somebody and you're like, you know what, you're my new best friend. And you guys hang out and you get coffee and you go to happy hours and then winter comes and everyone kind of comes back inside and maybe you lose touch. But for that season, like you were best friends and you thrived off of each other. I love this comparison and breakdown of our friends because it really allows you to recognize that or come to peace maybe with relationships that didn't last as long as maybe you thought they would. Or it maybe really makes you think about those friends who are your trunk, but maybe you don't talk to them every day. It takes the pressure off of how relationships should look like in our life. Like every relationship doesn't need to show up the same way for it to still hold value or to have held value. And this next part has really helped me in navigating relationships for the unique attributes that they bring. And why I love this part of the discussion is I think we all value relationships, right? It is human, it's a human need. It's a basic human need to have relationships, to have connection. And I really pride myself in how I take care of relationships. And so for a while I did think like, well, if I'm giving this much into a relationship, I need to be receiving this much of a relationship. So if I'm reaching out to them, they should be reaching out to me. If I'm the one who's giving them, you know, we all have our love languages and the way we love and the way that we receive love can be different. So I love to give gifts like little knickknacks. It's what my mom did growing up. But I don't necessarily love to receive gifts. Like I'm not going to say no. I love a good thoughtful gift. But I'm much more like words of affirmation and quality time, acts of service. mean, we're like a little bit of each love language, but it's helped me to recognize that the relationships where I thought maybe I was unfulfilled in, maybe they just aren't, you know, either aren't capable or it's not natural for them to give in the capacity that I'm looking for. And so who can I turn to then that can give me in that capacity? So people will likely have one or two of these different things, but you aren't expecting them to come with all nine of these qualities. And in exchange, you yourself might be able to be all nine of these different types of people in someone else's lives, but you likely are not going to be every single nine type of relationship. I don't think that's a sentence, but you're likely not going to show up in these nine different ways for one person. And it'll make more sense as we start to go through these. But the first one, so you're looking to have these nine types of friends or nine types of relationships in your life. And the first one is your cheerleader. And this is your biggest fan. Like in your eye, their eyes, you can do no wrong. They're going to cheer you on no matter what. If you're having a rough day, they're going to try to pick you up. They see the silver lining. They're very positive. They inspire you to reach high and to live large. And they are there to celebrate you and your victories. If you win an award, you better believe they're going to be sitting at the table. They're going to be the first one standing up to cheer you on, the first one reaching out to you to tell you how proud they are of you. And then the second one is the challenger. So this person, while they're still rooting for you, they're going to challenge you in a way where they're not just going to say yes to everything. And at times, it may come across as a bit pessimistic. They're more of the realist. So they push you to be the best version of you and hold you accountable. So if you say you're going to do something, they're not going to give power to your excuses. They're going to check that you are staying true to your values and to your goals, and they're going to be brutally honest with you. So this is the person who's checking, who's just checking you, making sure that you are doing the things that you said you're going to do, that you're living the life that you said you want to live. It's a really important person to have in your life. And then, I don't think this is the official name, but I liked this name instead. I call them the five-day sweats friend. So this is the person where they can show up at your house, you've been wearing the same sweatpants for 5 days, and you don't care. You're yourself around them. You're super comfortable. They come over. You don't feel the need to spot clean the house. You can have those tufts of dog hair sitting out, dishes that are maybe dirty in the sink, and you can feel at peace. And it's easy with this person. The conversation flows. You don't need to search for words. Or maybe you don't even have to be conversing. Like you can just show up and be yourselves around each other. The fourth person is the confidant. You could also call this person your therapist. It's someone who you feel really feel very safe confiding in. So they will never judge you. They make you feel seen and heard in a way where this person is typically a very good listener. And you know that what you say stays between the two of you. Now, the next one, similar in how the confidant shows up, but they're the caregiver. So it's someone who really cares deeply about you. They are purely looking out for you and oftentimes expect nothing in return. They're the person who is maybe sending you flowers when you've had a rough day. They will never forget your birthday. They might leave you surprise notes or treats at your house, or maybe if you work with them. I know that we have a lot of caregivers that I work with. But they're checking in, and they're seeing what you need. If you miss a day at work, like they're texting you, seeing what you're doing, how you're doing, can they bring you anything? The next person is a comedian. And they don't have to be a comedian by occupation, but they're someone who just makes you laugh. You understand their humor. They crack you up, right? They're someone who can totally turn your day around. They can pick you up no matter what mood you're in. You leave them with lots of belly laughs. So I know I had one of these days on Fridays. I hung out with Shelby and Angelie. And they are, I mean, they hold many different roles in my life. But comedian for sure. I left that day feeling like I had done an ab workout. Like just the most sore in my abs. But it's important to have that person who can make you laugh. Next, I think this is number 7, is the story maker. So when you think back to some of the best moments of your life, some of the best stories you have to tell, it's typically with this person or it involves this person. They are spontaneous and up for anything. Someone who you can always count on if you were to call them and say, hey, I want to try this new thing or I want to go to this concert. They're going to be the person that's like, yep, I'm there. When? You just tell me when. They're adventurous. They challenge you to get out of your comfort zone. They're typically extroverted. You can reach out to them, or likely they're the one reaching out to you and inviting you, exposing you to new ideas, new activities. These last two, I think, might be, they're all important, right? I don't know if I could choose like one or one that's more important than the other. But one is a mentor. So someone who is competent in the area that you would like to grow in, or in an area where you would like to grow. And this is crucial for our growth. So you've probably heard that it's always important to be in a room or surround yourself with someone who is smarter than you. They're more aware of the world, more experienced, someone who you can look up to. Like, you never want to be the smartest person in the room. And this person will help you to make decisions. They might give you advice. You view them very highly. They're someone of high character, high morals. Their values are something that align with your own values. And they usually excel in an area that you yourself are passionate about. The last one is someone who's a mentee. I would call this person, I think that's the best name for it, someone who's a mentee. They look up to you. Someone who is coming to you for advice. Someone who's coming to you for expertise. And that you would then go out of your way for, to help them, to give them advice. They make you feel needed and that your gifts and knowledge are being utilized. And at the end of the day, we want to feel seen. We want to feel heard. We want to feel valued. And this person makes us feel like the gifts and the strengths that we show up in this world, up within this world, are of importance. So now that you have all 9 of those, so the cheerleader, the challenger, the 5-day sweats friend, the confidant, caregiver, comedian, story maker, mentor, mentee, you know, maybe there were people who you were thinking of in your mind, of which one identified with each of those areas. And I want you to think now, how are you showing up for others in these ways? So again, it doesn't need to be all of these things for all of the people in your life. There are some people who you would go out of your way with or for more than others, right? That person that I like to think now with technology, right, you have that do not disturb, but you can make it so that there's certain people who can get through, right? So maybe that's the person who you're the 2 a.m. friend for. Maybe you're not the mentor for them, but you're that person who they can call at any time, right? And maybe there's someone who they understand your unique sense of humor. So you're the comedian for them, right? There might be people who you make feel comfortable. They can invite you over. They don't have to spot clean their house. Like, just thinking how we're showing up. I think this takes the pressure off of needing to be all of these things. Be the cheerleader. Be the caregiver. Be the person who can make someone laugh. Like, takes the pressure off of having to do that for all the friends in our lives. And instead identifying, like, what strengths in myself come out when I'm around these different people? I think that's a good way, too, to look at as you're navigating relationships moving forward. You know, you don't need to give all of your time to all of the people. But what are those relationships that really bring out the best in you? Who are you feeling really supported around? Who do you feel really comfortable around? And if you're finding that there's people in your life who don't show up for you in any of these ways, or who you don't feel like you're showing up for in any of those ways, those are likely the relationships that are going to end up being unfulfilling. Or maybe at one point, you know, they were the story maker friend, but now you don't quite see them as much. So I hope that this is helpful for you in navigating relationships. Again, relationships are just a natural evolution of life. Going back to that tree, thinking of like who was your root structure, who's part of your foundation, your trunk, and identifying how to let go of those limbs of the leaves that maybe once were a really powerful, important part of our life, but just aren't as lively, aren't showing up as frequently as they were, and coming to peace with that. I hope this was helpful for you. I always enjoy getting to share the things that are of interest to me and kind of what I'm reading. But as always, if there's something that you are learning more about or you're excited about or there's someone who you want to hear on the podcast, you can find me at Genevieve_Nutting Howarth with a TH and send me a message. Let me know. Who do you want to see? What do you want to talk about? I hope that this is leaving you fulfilled and that you have a wonderful rest of your day and you're taking away something that allows you to continue to contribute to your zest life. We'll see you later. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nutting Howarth and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.